So this is Hannah Thompson interviewing
Harold Stanbridge.
All right. And to preface, actually, what was your role and interaction with the military?
I was a Navy fighter pilot, and I spent 26 years in the Navy.
All right. To start us off, my first question is, how did your enlistment affect your marriages?
I really don't think the enlistment in itself affects the marriages. I think it's how you handle it that affects it. During the first 18 or 20 years of my time in the military, I didn't handle it too well. I concentrated almost solely on the military, and my family took second fiddle. My second marriage, after that, it worked out very well, and the military became a big benefit to our marriage.
All right. And to make a slight shift in focus, do you think that it is the desire of the military to engage in combat or solely a function?
Actually, I guess you could call it a function, but the desire of the military is to not engage in combat. It's to be strong enough so nobody will threaten you. But you have to be ready for combat when you're in there.
All right. And do you think the military works at the will of the government or at the will of the people within?
Neither. I think it works to protect the people of the United States and do whatever it has to do that. And the government is what controls it.
All right. Do you think within the military it is mostly populated by realists, idealists, or liberals?
I think it's probably a combination of realists and idealists. There's a tendency in the military for people to want to be perfectionists. They want to be very good at what they do, and which would make them an idealist, I guess. But reality steps in every now and then, and you're as good as you can be.
All right. Do you think that most enlisted believe the government is effective and good as it is, or that it is in great need of change?
That depends. It tends to vary with the administration. If you have a conservative administration, people in the military are generally pretty pleased with the way things go because the conservatives concentrate on military. The liberalists concentrate on other things, and they need the money that would normally go into the military for other things. So it's a sine wave. It varies from administration to administration.
And to expand on that, do you think that the legislature around the military, do most enlisted believe that is effective or that it could need change?
Well, it's hard to say how they feel about it. I think the majority of them, ideally all of them, realize that their mission is to do what the government tells them to do. And they can only hope that the government knows what they're doing. So.
All right. Why do most of the enlisted join the military now? And how is that different from why most joined when you first enlisted?
Well, I think, I don't know if you could say most of them. I think a lot of people now join the military because either they can't find another job or there just are no other jobs available. Several of them, in fact, I would hope, again, most of them join it because they want to be in the military. It is a good career. The benefits are, there's no place else in the United States or any other government that I know of where you can get the benefits you get from staying in the military and retiring.
Mm-hmm.
So that's obviously a plus for them. But back when I joined, it was, in a way, it was similar. Although in my case, and I think a lot of the people I served with, we just wanted to do things that you could only do in the military. Fly supersonic airplanes, you know, drive tanks, that kind of stuff. So it varies from year to year, I guess, but or generation to generation.
Mm-hmm. All right. How much of a role do you think that politics plays in military command hierarchies? Has it changed since you enlisted, since you retired?
No, I think it stays the same. Like as I mentioned earlier, it's kind of a sine wave. It depends on the administration. You know, politics plays a big role no matter where you are. But from a military standpoint, the only politics that the military is worried about is whether or not they're going to be supported. And as I said earlier, the support varies in degree from administration to administration. But other than that, I think, you know, they're there to serve the country, and that's what they do.
All right. Do you think that our military should be downsized if it could be done without consequences for the enlisted? Or should it stay the same? Perhaps should it continue to grow?
I think it should definitely continue to grow. The problems in the world are up all the time, and the only thing we have to defend ourselves is the military. And as I said earlier, you don't want to get into a war. The best way to prevent a war is being so strong nobody will threaten you.
A system of deterrence, if you will. All right. In recent years, have you seen a change in the attitude of enlisted towards their leaders, their commanding officers, and political leaders?
Of course, I haven't been in the military for about 23 years now, but I can't believe that that's a problem. I think that the enlisted people pretty much look up to their officers. If they get a bad officer, they know it, and they make it known. But for the most part, I think that the system works. You know, they pick the right people to lead and the right people to follow. So,
to sort of expand on that one, do you think that as American society generally has become pretty significantly less formal in interactions between traditionally superior and inferior stations, do you think that it has gone that way in the military, that there's slightly less formality between ranks?
No, I don't. In fact, in the military, you can't have that. Mm-hmm. That formality always has to be there. The bottom line is, when it comes time to do something, as in combat, when the person leading tells the other people what to do, he has to be right, and two, they have to believe in him, and then they have to do it. And that's never going to change.
Okay. What about in relation to, say, technology and how maybe older commanding officers have less familiarity with it?
When I was there, that was a real problem. Mm-hmm. I was one of them. But, I mean, I had a lot of technology available in the airplanes I flew. But computers were just coming in when I got in there. And nowadays, I mean, these kids that are in there, they're much smarter than I was. You know, and they don't have to be that smart. They have it right at their fingertips. I shouldn't say they don't have to be that smart. They have to be smart. They don't have to remember everything. It's right there. They can look it up in a second. And the technology that is used in the military now it's very effective. It limits the number of required people mm-hmm. to do the same job, so.
All right. Which branches of the military do you think saw the most action when you enlisted, and has that proportion changed?
For me, it was actually pretty equal. I was in the Navy, and we were always on cruise, but the Air Force got a lot of action. During the Gulf War, the first Gulf War, the Air Force got a lot of action, and so did the Navy. And the Army, quite frankly, has always had a lot of action. Mm-hmm. They're around the world, and they're working all the time. Mm-hmm. So it's probably an equal split, I think.
All right. I think that's it among my questions.
Okay.
And to wrap up, how do you think technology and military technological development has changed the opportunities that one may find in joining the military?
Well, I think that the kids today spend so much time, working with this stuff, all this technology with their phone. I mean, everybody's carrying around a phone that has what, 1,000 times the technological capability of the first space shuttle did. You know, it's incredible. And these kids know how to use it. That gives them a leg up over what the older guys, you know, like me, were in there. You know, they come up with these computers, you know, and to me, that if it wrote a letter, that was about as far as I was going to go. But these kids really get into it. And again, it makes them so effective on the battlefield because they can do the work of three or four different people very easily. I mean, right, you know, from the right side of their Jeep, they can do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then get the information out to everybody that needs to hear it. So technology has really improved the opportunity for virtually everybody that knows how to use it.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, you young people all know how to use it. So you need to join the Navy.
All right. I will take that into consideration.
Okay.
Thank you for this interview.
You're welcome.